Acts chapter 18. I'm starting at verse 24, and I'm going to be reading through to verse 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him into their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that in spite of the things that might distract us or go wrong, you are still present amongst us. And Lord, we just pray that we would focus on you and your word this morning and move other things that might distract to the background. Lord, as we learn today, we pray that what we learn wouldn't just be something that we hear, but rather that we would be hearers and doers of the word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So today is the conclusion of the APEST series that we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses the whole chapter actually, but specifically verse 11, where it talks about the fivefold gifting that God gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And after a bit of a break from preaching and me going away, I'm back and we're drawing this thing to a close with teachers today. I've got up on the screen there where the Greek word teach, the Greek word for teacher comes from. This is also fantastic because I can see my slide. So this is where the Greek word for teacher comes from. The Greek word for teacher is didaskalos, which comes from the verb didasko, which is, for those of you who are a bit into your grammar and grammar nerdy like me, is a causative verb from the Greek verb deo, which means to learn. Ipso facto, the word didasko actually means to cause to learn. So we might use the expression teach or a teacher, whereas the original meaning of the word is someone who causes someone else to learn. And for those of you who like etymology a little bit like me, you may pick up that the word didasko sounds a lot like the word didactic, which is to teach thoroughly, or some usually it means to teach over the top. But you can see the link between the ancient Greek and the modern word that we use today. So didaskalos is the Greek word for teacher, and it means to cause to learn. So it's a little bit more in-depth than simply someone who shares information. Rather, there is a two-way or process involved in teaching or being a didaskalos, because you don't simply give the information, but rather you cause people to learn. Hence, it is a gift, something that God gives his people to equip the saints for works of service, because he is part of that two-way process. You know, the old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Or the other one is, I taught my dog to speak. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he learned it. So the idea is that you cause someone to learn. And the second thing that is really important in the fivefold nature of a teacher is a guardian of truth. The teacher is the guardian of truth in the fivefold, the guardian of truth for the body of Christ. I also just realized I have moved quite a way forward. Can I be seen on camera if I'm being zoomed? Great. Sorry. And welcome to everyone who is joining us on camera today. So a teacher, a guardian of truth, and someone who causes another person to learn. Now, as with the other giftings in the fivefold that we've explored, there are ways in which this gift can be used in an undeveloped fashion, and there are ways in which this gift can be used in a developed way, where the person has grown in their gifting and learnt more about their gifting, which I believe is the next slide, if I could have that up, please. My next slide, if I may. Thank you. So this is how the gift of teaching for people who are teachers develop the gift. Just before I get into that, a biblical example is the one I've just read, Apollos, and he will come up in this particular segment. And of course, in the earthly world, you probably can figure out the sort of people that God has hardwired to be teachers, because they tend to be teachers, lecturers, people who, you know, small group leaders, those sorts of people who educate others, who cause others to learn, generally gifted as teachers. And here are some of the ways that this gift can be developed. So on the one side, there's 3 points there, and they move. We want people to move from, actually, sorry, your way, from this side to that side as the gift is developed. So on one side, if we've got, I know enough, but we want to move to, I'm always learning. There is always more to learn. One of the most important things that a teacher does is continue to learn. They have a growth mindset. In fact, you'll have that. There is another expression, you know, if you want to make sure you definitely know something, teach it to someone else. The teaching and learning process are linked with one another. There is no such thing as a perfectly complete teacher. No one understands the truth of God in its entirety. No one. There is always more to learn. And the advantage of people who have been specifically gifted as teachers, they love to learn. They love to learn more so that they can teach more. That is the way the process works. That is how the body of Christ is built up. That is how they develop and they mature and they equip the saints for works of service. So it's not simply that, well, I know everything I need to know, I'm done. There is always things that a teacher is learning new truths about God, learning new ways to communicate those truths and causing other people to learn. Secondly, I'm the teacher versus I'll teach you to teach. With all of these different gifts that we've explored through this series, it's never just about having the gift and using it for oneself, but helping to draw that gift out of other people. It's called discipleship. Get amongst it. It's really cool. Helping other people to learn, to do the same things that we are doing. And it's particularly pertinent for teachers because it's what they do best. Now, you may have found yourselves in situations like this in the past where there is someone who just has to be the go-to, someone who has to be the expert, and no one else is allowed to know as much as they know. Like whenever there's a question or something needs to be taught, you have to go to that person because they're the one who knows it. That is an undeveloped gift of teaching. A developed gift of teaching is, I know these things, but I want to make sure you know these things so that you can teach other people these things as well, so that people don't always have to come to me, but they can go to any number of people because I have passed on that wisdom and I have passed on that knowledge. Again, this is how the body of Christ is built up. Simple way to remember it with yet another old adage, give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a night. Teach him to fish and you will feed him for his lifetime. That is the essence of that second level of that second point in the development of the teaching gift. It is not simply about having the gift and using the gift for one's own benefit or even for one's own ego, but rather to share that with others so that others too can learn and teach and the body of Christ can be built up. And then the final stage, which is probably the one that can be the easiest trap to fall into, is the difference between knowing and doing. Being a hearer of the word and being a doer of the word. Building one's house on sand and building one's house on rock. Looking at your mirror and remembering what you look like, or looking in your mirror and immediately forgetting what you look like. That was actually in reverse, sorry. Scripture tells us in James that if someone hears the word of God and doesn't put that into action, they're like someone who looks in the mirror and then immediately forgets what they look like. It tells us in the end of Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount that someone who hears the word of God, hears what Jesus says and doesn't put it into action, they're like a foolish builder who built their house on sand. But it tells us that someone who does put it into action is like a wise builder that built their house on the rock. Now, when this comes to the gift of teaching, we can be very easily sucked into a closed circuit, if you will, where it's all about learning and knowing more about God, knowing Jesus, but not actually about making Jesus known through our lives and our actions. It's all about learning the latest theology, knowing the Bible inside and out, but it actually doesn't matter. Well, it does. So stay with me on this. It doesn't actually matter how well we know the scriptures if it has no impact on our life whatsoever. It does not matter, for instance, how well you know the benefits of healthy eating and exercising regularly if you never do it. Same thing applies with the health of our spirits. The gospel, the scriptures, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. The scriptures are all about knowing and understanding Jesus so that we may live for him. If we are not living for him, but merely knowing all of this stuff in theory, our faith is essentially, not essentially, is dead. James also tells us that in his letter. We shouldn't be so focused on simply learning more, teaching more, but never, ever leading to any action. If it never leads to any action, then you haven't really caused to learn. You've literally just caused knowledge dissemination, which is slightly different. So the key question that must be asked when it comes to being a teacher is, are God's people learning and living the truth? Are God's people learning and living the truth? In my observation, in my experience, and this is me talking more personally now, when I observe the church generally, as in not me this church, I mean like the capital C church, churches that I've been involved in, we're really, really good at learning the truth. Like I've had some wonderful theological discussions with people over the course of my time. Love theological discussions too. And I know a lot of people who are absolutely committed to the truth of the scripture and the truth of the Bible. But sometimes the actual act of taking the leaps of faith and sharing our faith with others, showing Jesus to other people through the lives that we live from Monday to Saturday, some of that truth is diluted a little bit. And we don't live as well as the truth that we proclaim, that we learn and love so much. I hope that makes sense. We can often be really, really good at learning the truth and understanding the Bible and knowing it really, really well. But when it comes to actually putting it into practice, that's where it can be challenging. And it makes sense. We do live in a challenging world. We live in a world that is hostile to us. However, it is the call that God has given us to be in this world, to be a part of the community around us and to live God's truth before others so they might see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. So the key question that teachers need to ask, and that in fact the whole church must ask to be living in a fivefold world, is, are God's people, are we the church, learning and living the truth? That is the essence of the gift of teaching. Now, because this is the last sermon in this particular series, we're going to be going, I just want to do a quick recap of the five gifts that we've learned about in the APEST fivefold, which should be on my next slide. And I remember, if you can cast your mind back to when I first launched this series, a simple way of remembering how they all work together is to think of it in the context of climbing a mountain together. It's the apostle who comes forth and says, we need to climb the mountain. The prophet is specific. He said, no, we need to climb that mountain. The evangelist gets people on board and said, let's all climb the mountain together. Come on, guys, we're going to climb this mountain. The shepherd is the pastor. Let's get everyone up there safely. Let's make sure everyone makes it. We don't want to leave bodies halfway up to get to the top of this mountain. And then the teacher, the gift we've looked at today, well, do we all know what we're doing? Do we all understand what is required to climb a mountain? Have we got, do we have the food that we need, the resources that we need? That is what the teacher's role is in that. And that's how the whole goal and the purpose is to have everybody safe and well and celebrating on the mountaintop. And you can see what happens if any one of these, they all need to work together, because if any one of these is taken out of the system, if any one of these is missing, you can start to see the cracks in the actual body of Christ, because these gifts are all necessary. For example, let's take out an apostle. If you take out apostles from the church loses its drive. The church loses its impetus. The church loses that voice that's saying, we can be better. We can do better. There are people out there that need to know God. We need to grow. We need to be serving more. That you have potential that you have not yet reached, that we want it, that God wants to see you reach, that he has placed within you. You take that out and the church can become stagnant. Sorry, Greg. Prophets. You take prophets out of the church and you sever so many of your connections to God. Now, when we did the prophet sermon, you'll remember the spiritual gift of prophecy is one that we are all encouraged to lean into. And God eagerly desires us. We are to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And each and every one of us does have a direct link to God. I want to make sure that that is clear. But when we take out the people who are specifically gifted to do that our individual capacity to get better at hearing God goes, and their capacity where they are constantly hearing from God and sharing God's messages with God's people, that is severed. And the church gets itself cut off from the source and sustainer of everything that it does. Very bad idea to get rid of your prophets. Evangelists. If you get rid of evangelists, well, basically the church essentially becomes what I have dubbed a spiritual aristocracy. We basically just become inbred, where everything gets passed on to our children and our, you know, friends and very, very limited scope of people, because no one has any desire to see anyone from outside the closed group come and be involved in the kingdom of God. We'd be essentially a bit like I was thinking of like the Amish, and you know, how they sort of live in their very cloistered sort of lives. They don't sort of have that outside bringing in things. Like they might do, and I don't want to be too negative on them, but that's sort of the picture that I got in my head of a very closed Christian community, which is just for Christians, and it just gets passed on down the line, and no one from outside the kingdom of God is ever encouraged to come inside. Shepherds, you get rid of your shepherds, well, no one is cared for. As it says at the end of Matthew chapter 26, 31, which is a quote from Zechariah 13:7. I will strike the shepherd, and the flock will be scattered. That is a reference to a prophecy about Jesus that then came true the night that he was arrested. But the concept remains the same for the shepherds that God places in his church. When you take the shepherds out, the flock gets scattered. People aren't cared for. People aren't looked after. People aren't healthy. And therefore, the church goes in all different directions. It almost ceases to be the church. It's a very important gift that we need. And then finally, the teachers. If you take out the teachers, the truth gets distorted. And you can end up with cults, or you can end up with heresies in the church. The teachers, as the guardians of truth, are an essential component. All five things are needed. We need our apostles, we need our prophets, we need our evangelists, we need our shepherds, and we need our teachers. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to shepherds and teachers, the church in the West does quite well. In fact, when it comes to the basically qualifications for ministers, generally you want them to be good at preaching and good at pastoral care. I'm good at the first one. To cause to learn, people. Come on. Second one, which is good because I'm suck at the second one. No. The second one is an area that I've had to grow into over the time that I've been in ministry. But it's like those are the two things. We're really good at getting teachers, and we're really good at getting pastors in churches. People to care for the flock, people to share the truth. Those are two things that are really good, that we're really good at. But where we tend to struggle, we tend not to be that keen on people that are giving us messages from God, people that are trying to draw us into uncomfortable spaces, and people that are encouraging us constantly to share our faith, because those things are all uncomfortable. Growth is uncomfortable. Growth hurts. There's a reason there's such a thing as growing pains. When we grow, it stretches us and draws us out of our comfort zones. If we only embrace the gifts that make us feel cozy and comfortable, we as the church will no longer be the church. We will be happy, but we won't be effective. We won't be functional. We won't be, more specifically, what God has designed us to be. When all of these gifts are embraced and work together, we get the kind of church that is described in the rest of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, and then verse 16, because this is the image. If you remember from way back when we first launched this series, it was a while ago, the sermon on Ephesians 4, I called it the perfect church. And you'll remember that the word perfect meant mature, complete, the idea that it was lacking in nothing, not as opposed to flawless. So the idea of a complete and whole church looks like this with these gifts. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. He gave all of them to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become complete, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That is the sort of church that I want to be a part of. That is the sort of church that I believe we are well on our way to being. And I'm really excited about the gifts that God has given each and every person in this room to build up his kingdom here, to reach the people that need to be reached, to know Jesus and to make him known in this world. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your presence with us. We just want to thank you that you have given each and every person here a gift, whether that gift is in abundance, Lord, or whether it's a smaller gift, Lord. Every single gift is valuable and every single gift is needed for what you want to do. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out powerfully upon us here at Brimbank Church of Christ. Lord, that you would be equipping us here to use the gifts that you've given us for the work that you have prepared in advance for each of us to do. Lord, we thank you for our community. We thank you for the deep friendships that abide here. And Lord, we just pray that we would be known always as a church that knows you and a church that makes you known to the world. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.